In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. In any relationship, they say communication is the most important factor. Whether it's a marriage or a business relationship, the key is that there'd be good communication in order for the relationship to work. And that should be no surprise to us, because when communication breaks down, then there is one party who is left wondering what the other party is thinking. It leaves them in the dark, and no one knows what's going on in the other's head. Silence can be a terrifying sound. Imagine then what it must have been like for the Jews, who had had no word from God through the prophet for nearly 450 years. In the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, God did not send any more prophets. There was no one saying, or at least no one legitimately saying, "Thus saith the Lord." There was no Isaiah, there was no Jeremiah, no Micah, no Joel, telling the people how the Lord was dealing with them. After the word of the Lord came from Malachi, that was it. That was the last word they had, and this was one of the last things that they heard from the Lord before those 400 plus years of silence. This is what Malachi said. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears?" Now, this was one of the last things that you've heard from the Lord for almost 500 years. So you are waiting for the Lord to break silence. And you know he's going to, because he said so. And the thing that you're looking for to be the marker that he's breaking his silence is that messenger to come. Because when that messenger comes, that means the Lord is coming. And finally, the Lord will break his silence and we will hear from him again. So what we need to do is just look for that messenger to come. There's only one thing, though. I'm not sure we'll like it when the Lord breaks his silence. I'm not sure we'll like it when the messenger comes. Did you hear what he said? "Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears?" There's a little bit of an assumption going on to say that when the Lord comes, it would be for us a good thing. Because the Lord's coming could be for us a frightful thing. It certainly sounds that way from Malachi. And so here's the picture that we might paint to see what we're dealing with. Imagine you're young, let's say you're in high school, and your parents are leaving to go away out of town for a few days, and they leave you in charge of the house. And I know this doesn't sound like you, but you get a brilliant idea that this would be a great time to host a party with all of your friends, or perhaps everyone from school. And so all of your friends are over. The music is loud. Some people brought drinks. The people are dancing inside and outside in the front yard. Everyone's having a good time. And then the phone rings. You answer, and your parents are on the other end of the call. What's going on there? "The neighbors called and told me there's a wild party. We're coming home right now." Well, I'm willing to bet that the party is probably over. And now you have to wait for mom and dad to come home. That's a long wait. And that's a homecoming that you're not really looking forward to. Now, this could be a picture of what the Lord's coming could look like. That the Lord is coming to a people who have been rebellious, who have been adulterous, who have been crooked and a wicked generation, a generation that does what is right in its own eyes? And should such a people look forward to the coming of the Lord? Shouldn't the Lord, in his coming, be for them destruction in his wrath and in his anger? In a case like this, the Lord's coming is not something to look forward to. It's something to fear. It's something to avoid. And that's how it should be according to our sins. If judged by our flesh, that's exactly what the Lord's coming would mean for you. It would mean punishment. That what is really the difference, if you really think about it, between your sinful flesh and the idolaters and the adulterers of Israel's day? That you too chase after gods of your own making. You too fail to trust him at all times. You too follow the passions of your flesh. So according to your sin, there's nothing to do but wait like the teenager after the party. And then comes the messenger, the one who preached in the wilderness, and he preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so we see the Lord is not coming in wrath at all, but we see what his coming is really all about. That this messenger points to Jesus and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He doesn't point to Jesus and say, "Behold, the hammer of God who smashes the sinner where he stands." And it's this amazing verse from John's gospel that you know well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And then there's this verse that comes after, which is just should be so shocking to us. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." When the Lord comes, he doesn't come to give you what's coming to you. He comes to set you free. He comes to save you. He comes to give you life. He comes to rescue you from destruction. That's why the Lord comes. So the picture of mom and dad coming home to reprimand you for the party isn't the right picture at all. It's more like someone at the party has set the house on fire and dad comes to run in and get you. And what's more is that you make it out, but dad doesn't. Because in Jesus coming to save you, it means that he does so by putting himself in the place of punishment, the punishment that you deserve. That the seat of God's wrath is the cross, and that's your seat, that's your cross. And that's what you deserve by your sin, but that's not what the Lord has for you. That Jesus takes that seat to rescue you from your sin and to save you from eternal death. And that, in fact, is what Malachi told us. He said, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." And you, dear saints, by faith in Christ, are sons of Jacob. The Lord makes good on his promise no matter what. Can you imagine keeping a promise of redemption no matter what? Because that's not how we do things. If we made a promise to someone, let's say, "On Friday, I'm going to give you my house for free, no payment needed. Just scot-free, the house is yours." And the person you promised that to begins to mock you, spreads rumors about you around town, they spit in your face, they use your picture as a dartboard. Come Friday, you know what you're going to do? You say, "Forget it. You don't get my house. You've been a jerk. No deal." But that isn't how our Lord deals with his promises. that even though you sinned, Jesus is still for you. That even though you sinned yesterday, even though you sinned today, and guess what? You're probably going to sin tomorrow. Jesus is still for you. That there is not one sin, not even one, that undoes the cross of Christ. That you can't uncrucify Jesus. That your sins are atoned for and that is never taken back. The Lord does not change. Your sins are forgiven, and that's that. That, dear saints, is the most releasing, freeing news there has ever been. That is so freeing, so joyous, in fact, that maybe, just maybe for a moment, if we can stop looking at ourselves and our own sin problem, since they're forgiven anyway, we can look to the person next to us long enough to realize that those people around me need my help. That there are people who are hurting, people who are struggling, people who can't do things for themselves, those who are living as if their sins damn them to hell. There are people that God has placed in our lives, or better put, you are someone whom God has placed in their lives, and you can help them. Be it carry in the groceries, spare a few bucks, lend a listening ear, pray, or maybe even tell them what Jesus has done for them. You see, when you're not so busy looking at your own sins so much, because they've been released, suddenly there's all kinds of people in your life you've never seen before. The Lord doesn't change. His promises are from yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forevermore. That when he took you and baptized you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then he made you his child. And God doesn't go back on that. He never breaks his promises, even to teenagers after a wild party. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.